Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me once again to the sixth chapter of John. We have a group of people that had been fed by Christ with five loaves and two fishes. They were following him around. This is the end of his teachings during his Galilean ministry, and he's in the synagogue of Capernaum, and he's preaching a message. He's teaching a lesson to these followers, and they were looking for a meal. They wanted something to eat. And he says at the beginning of this, in the sixth chapter, he says, "Stop looking for something to satisfy your flesh. You need what satisfies the soul." We've got a lot of people looking for happiness in all the wrong places. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking for that void to be filled within them by things of the world. And there's only one thing that will fill that void, that emptiness inside of you, and it's Jesus. He says, stop looking for all these things. Look at verse 26. He just tells them, the reason you're following me is because you want a free lunch. Now, we've got a lot of folks today. We have the Health, Wealth, and Prosperity Church, the Health, Wealth, and Prosperity Gospel out there. And they're going to church to try to get something for the flesh. Listen, folks, when we come to worship, we want our souls fed. We want our souls satisfied. We want to worship in spirit and in truth. And so Jesus is teaching them that they need to be seeking for those things that are from above. Look in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. You guys do realize that all the things of this world are going to perish. The whole world is going to burn with fervent heat. Quit putting so much stock and so much investment in the things that are tangible in life. You need to invest in the spiritual things. Jesus said, lay ye up treasures in heaven. And that's what we need to be doing. And so he says, stop laboring for meat that perisheth or food that perisheth or things we could associate or connect with various things of life that people are striving to achieve and striving to accomplish and striving to get. You know, we want to get all we can and can all we get. I mean, that's kind of our attitude of life. We're just trying to get more and get more and get more. And Jesus says, stop trying to appeal to the flesh. Quit laboring for those things that will perish. There are things in life that will never perish. There are eternal things that you can acquire here and now. Eternal things. And so he begins to discuss these eternal things. He says, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Those things in life that are eternal. Now, I believe the things that we do here at Victory Church are eternal things. They're to be the things of God. They're to be the things that last forever. We're dealing with eternal death and eternal life. The gospel is either a savor of life unto life, or it is a savor of death unto death for you. And so we preach the gospel hoping to accomplish spiritual, eternal things. God wants to bring you from a state of death, eternal death, into a state of eternal life. God wants to do that for you. He has a plan, and we've looked at these things a little bit last week, and I want to kind of finish up with a message where Jesus says, I am the bread of eternal life. Now that's what he, in essence, will say in the end. I am the bread that gives you eternal life. I'm the thing that you can take of and eat of that will give you eternal life. Okay, so we're going to read these verses of Scripture. We're going to read this sermon preached by the preacher of preachers. Okay, there's no greater preacher or teacher than Jesus Christ. And he is teaching us about eternal things. Now, all of us have spent way too much time after the flesh. All of us have sought to gain things of the flesh, things that perish, and we've not invested enough in the spiritual things, those things that last eternally. And so he tells them in verse 27, I want to read these passages of Scripture. We've already noticed two primary things that keep coming up over and over and over and over again in the sixth chapter of St. John. The first one was the divine provision. God provided a plan. He provided a way. He provided a person whereby that you could be redeemed. He sent His only begotten Son. We're going to see through all of this that He had a pre-existence. Jesus was not a man. He wasn't a man like any other man. He was a man sent from God. He was divine. And we notice as we go through these passages of Scripture, we've noticed His pre-existence. He came down out of heaven. Nobody else has come down out of heaven to reveal divine and spiritual things to you but Jesus. If you ever come to Jehovah God, you must come through Jesus Christ. We've also noticed the divine presence of the Father drawing people to His Son. Giving His Son and drawing people to His Son. And we're going to notice a variety of other aspects of the work of the Father. The Father's presence. The Father's involvement. I believe the Holy Spirit is involved in people getting saved. I believe the Holy Spirit's involved in the preaching of the cross. Jesus said in the 11th chapter of the book of John, He says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men." Everybody say all. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And so Jesus is drawing, the Father is drawing. It's apparent that when you read the Scriptures, that God is reaching out to you, that He wants you to come to Him. And we notice those verses in this passage of Scripture where He says, "Come, cometh, believeth, seeketh, looketh, believeth in me." He says this. Not only that, he says, "Taste of me." And so we're going to read these verses. We're going to see God's divine purpose, His divine plan, His divine provision, which is Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and Jesus Christ is that way. He said, "I am the way," in the 14th chapter of John. "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." If you have eternal life, you must get it through Jesus Christ. You'll never be in the presence of God apart from His atonement. It's through His death. Now He mentions that in here. He's going to start talking about eating of His flesh. And He was having reference to the cross. He'll even say in this reading lesson, you've got to see me. You've got to behold the cross. I believe the only way people can have their sins canceled and forgiven is to go to the cross. That's why we lift up the cross before people. We want you to look to Jesus dying on the cross and taking your place. He is a substitutionary atonement for your sins. He paid the sin debt for you. And we see that clearly in these verses. And Jesus, because He sacrificed Himself for you, because He paid the price of sin for you, He has become the bread of life. He is the bread of eternal life. He is the bread from heaven. He came down from heaven. And so as we go through here, we're going to notice that. Now the I am the bread of life is one of the seven I am statements that Jesus made. He said He was not only the bread of life, but He said, "I am the true vine, I am the good shepherd, I am the way," etc. And so there's seven of those profound statements where Jesus says, "I am the great I am." And the Jews understood that on one occasion. They understood it so clearly that they took up stones to stone Him because He declared Himself to be God. He was God. He was with God in the very beginning. The Bible says all things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. And I'm glad I know have a Savior that is eternal God. And so He puts great emphasis on his pre-existence in these passages. So we have the divine provision. We also have in these passages of Scripture His divine presence. The divine presence of God. Listen, if God wasn't present when you repented, if God wasn't present when you believed, if God wasn't present when you say you got saved, you didn't get saved through Jesus. The Father is always present. Listen, folk, God the Father has not spun the world and put the plan of redemption in place and step back. The Father is still involved in the work of the Son. That's why Paul and Peter and all those other apostles, they began all their epistles with a greeting. And they would say, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, if you know the Son, you know the Father. All right, so I've got to read this. Not only is there a divine presence, but listen, there must be a human application of the work of redemption. A human appropriation. You've got to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that affirmed over and over again. There's these affirmations and these commands for people to come. This application, this appropriation of the blood, I believe it's very important. Now, how do you might say, it's clear in these passages of Scripture. Listen to me. It's very clear in this chapter. Jesus made it very, very, very clear. You can't just sit there and go to heaven. You've got to respond to the gospel. You can't just sit around and wait for the bread of life to fall on top of your head. Jesus said, no. He said, the person who wants the bread of life must come. The one who wants the bread of life must believe. The one that wants the bread of life, I must look. The one that wants the bread of life must taste of the bread of life. Listen, folks, nobody can eat for you. You must eat for yourself. Okay? So there's a human aspect of this. Human appropriation. Listen, I believe, folks, when they're being dealt with by the Lord and when the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up, I believe the person must respond to the gospel. I believe he must believe. I believe he must repent. The gospel commands you to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must do that for yourself. Nobody can do that for you. The application of the blood is not separate and apart from you moving toward God. I don't believe this whole mess, people just, you know, walking down the road and suddenly they're just saved. No, the command is to repent. Nobody gets saved unless they're turning from sin. Amen? Amen? Nobody gets saved unless they're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a trust. There has to be faith. You have to come to God. The Bible instructs us as sinners that we need to seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He may be near. And so I'm going to read these verses. I've already supposed to preach my sermon, all right? Hadn't even read my verses. There's about 72 verses, but I'm going to read through these. And I want you to notice a few important aspects of them, okay? Notice verse 27. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might do the work of God? Now, I pointed this out last week. The work of God is you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're wanting to do something, and Jesus said, there is something you can do. This is the work of God. If you want to do something for God, it all starts by trusting in Jesus. People just don't join the church without being saved first. Amen? You can't do any of the work of God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen? You cannot please God unless it starts with faith. All right? So He says, this is the work of God. Jesus answered and said unto you, them, this is the work of God that ye... Now, we went through this last week, okay? Ye... in King James, means plural, okay? Second person plural. Ye, all of y'all, okay? All of y'all, if you want to do the work of God, the invitation is given to all of y'all to come and trust in Jesus, okay? You're invited to do the work of God, but you can't do the work of God unless you come believing in His Son. Now, He's going to make that very clear. Through these passages of Scripture, He says, this is the work of God. Now, let me back up. But again, I thought people knew this. I've gone over this in the past. I'm going to say it again because we have a few people that weren't here last week. When you're reading the King James, the ETH on the end of a verb is identifying and modifying a person. Okay, it's identifying and modifying a pronoun. Okay, ETH is third person pronoun. It's modifying a third person pronoun. EST is modifying a second person. I remember it by S and T. S and T. Second person, third person. Okay. Second person for S. Third person is T. Okay. And so we've got a lot of these. Cometh, believeth, draweth. We've got a lot of THs in here. It's third person. It's inviting people to come and participate and take part in the bread of life. Praise God that we are invited to come and take of the bread of life. So you all, you want to do the work of God? You've got to believe. Notice what it says in verse 29. On him whom he hath sent. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he says, and they said therefore unto him, what sign shouldest thou then that showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? What kind of work? What kind of trick? What are you going to do to get us to believe? Listen, God loves you so much he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son. He died on the cross for you. I tell you what miracle he worked for you. He worked a miracle of forgiveness. Are you with me? There's no greater miracle that can be worked in your life than to have all of your sins and iniquities and transgressions washed away. Amen? Yeah. Think about that. All right, so they want to see something. They want to experience something. You want to experience the power of God? You come to Jesus. Huh? I tell you what, you take a step out of the aisle, you move toward Christ. I mean, you move toward the cross. I guarantee you it will transform your life. You'll experience the power of God into salvation. Amen. You come seeking his forgiveness. You come asking for his grace and his mercy. You come wanting the blood of Jesus applied to your heart. You come doing what he has commanded you to do. You turn from your sins. You trust in the finished work of Calvary. And something will take place in you and you'll never be the same. The Bible calls it becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things passing away and all things becoming new. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I've got one of those experiences. Sure do. I got to read this. All right. And so he says, they said, hey, show us some. Our fathers got to experience. See, they're just wanting a free lunch. You know, the government realizes they give all the kids a free lunch, that the government will vote for their particular party, I guess. I don't know. But they're just wanting a free lunch, you know. Still wanting to appeal to the flesh. And they say, hey, our fathers got bread every day sent down from God. Well, actually, they say it was Moses. Our great leader Moses in the past, he gave us bread every day while we're in the wilderness. Notice what he says here. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth. There's one of those ETHs on the end with on the verb. Modifying the third person, ETH. Giveth you the true bread from heaven. He says, for the bread of God. Now notice he changes it, okay? Or points to the fact that this bread is the bread of God. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Notice here, the bread comes down out of heaven and is to give life to the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Okay. Just give us some of this bread that's going to last forever. Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread. I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. You know, there's a lot of folks today that have been under the influence of the power of God. They've seen the work of God in other people transforming their lives. They know that the power of the gospel can change them because it has changed others. You've seen the effects of the gospel. All of us are probably here at one time or another have seen the effects of the gospel. And so Jesus said, you've seen me and you believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I pointed out last week that all that the Father giveth is a present tense, present active indicative. It's a present tense. Okay, present tense. And also in the third person. All that the Father giveth me. See, the Father's still involved. Jesus was showing that this is not an independent operation from Jehovah God. That it is the work of God. Him coming and being the bread of life to the world. Right? All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now I want you to notice something. That this is a profound statement. It's a critical statement. It's a compelling statement. Jesus says over and over again, the phrase is used, came down out of heaven. It's used in verse 32, verse 33. For the bread of God is that which came down out of heaven. Verse 38, I have came down out of heaven. Verse 41, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. Verse 42, I have come down out of heaven. Verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is come down out of heaven. All right, this is the bread, verse 50, that came down out of heaven. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down out of heaven. That's the subject, my friend, of this sermon. He came down out of heaven. His eternal preexistence is paramount. You know, there's a lot of people that believe Jesus Christ was a good person or that he was a prophet or a great teacher or a great man. That's not good enough. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Amen. Seen of angels. Caught up to glory. Believed on the world. Preached among the Gentiles. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's important. He says, this is the will, verse 40, this is the will of Him that sent me. See, God has a plan. He has a purpose for you. Behind that plan is the sending of the Son to save you, to redeem you, to change you, to alter you. I mentioned last week that God not only gave the Son a plan and a purpose, but He also gave Him a kingdom, a people for His namesake, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that we should be praise be unto the praise of the Father. He has given us the privilege of becoming the children of God. Grafted in, amen, into the promise. Grafted in to the plan. The redemption of Jesus Christ provides us the opportunity to become the children of God. We're made children by faith. Okay, so that's important. All right, this is the will of Him that sent me. That everyone, say everyone, that seeth. Now there's co-mingled in here all of this stuff about coming. You know, he that cometh unto me. You've got to come to the Lord. If you're ever going to be saved, you're going to have to come to the bread of life. Not only that, he says, he that seeth the Son. Seeth the Son. Behold the Son. Listen, folks, we're just still preaching the same message that John the Baptist preached. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We're just pointing you to Jesus, the one who can cleanse you and take away your sins. So there's a beholding, a seeing, a looking. I believe when people are trying to get saved, they need to look to the cross. Amen. They need to look to Calvary. They need to look to the place of redemption. They need to look to the man Christ Jesus for salvation. It's through His name that we're saved. Okay? So there's a looking. Now this looking, of course, is the looking through the eyes of faith. Beholding. I preached on this about seeing Jesus a few months ago. This looking is a look of faith. Looking to Jesus for salvation. And so he seeth the Son and believeth. There's the word believeth. Okay? So you've got to come. Here in verse 40, you've got to behold or look to the cross. Notice what else it says. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So we have coming, we have beholding, we have believing here in verse 4. And believeth on Him. What will they have? What is the promise? What does it say here in verse 40? What is the promise? What can you have? What will you acquire by coming to the bread of life? Looking to the only begotten Son of God for redemption. What will you have when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? You will have eternal life. I don't know if you noticed or not this morning, but we sang all these songs about going to heaven. Huh? You know why we know we're going to heaven? Because we have eternal life. We're going to live forever with God in heaven because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you know that, my friend? Do you know that? Do you have that assurance in your heart and your life? Is there a time and a place where you came to Jesus? Listen, you need to have a come to Jesus time in your life. Amen? Yeah. You need to have a come to Jesus moment in your life. It's one of the most defining moments of our life when we come to the Lamb of God. Yeah, so there's a coming. You want the bread of life? You've got to come to Jesus. Listen, you can't go to a church and join it and have eternal life. You can't be baptized and have eternal life. He didn't say go to the preacher or go to the church. He says come to Jesus. I think a lot of people are failing to come directly to Jesus. And you've got to come directly to Jesus. The only way you can do that is by praying, calling on the Lord. Notice in this verse. So there's this plan. What is that plan? Okay, you come to Jesus. You look to Jesus. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you eternal life. And you will be kept. You will be secure in Jesus to the point that in the last day, He will raise you into His likeness. See, the plan also included our glorification. Amen? Listen, folks, you know, God didn't start wringing His hands when man fell in the garden. He knew the beginning and the end. And before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain. Amen? I believe that. I sure do. All right. And so he says, and I'm going to take care of this. The Father gives Him a kingdom, gives Him a people. Jesus saves them, redeems them unto Himself. I believe the God of heaven came down from heaven and He set up on this world a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. He is the God of heaven that Daniel talked about that came down to establish a kingdom. Amen? And of His kingdom there shall be no end. Praise God. Even the angel said that at His birth. So I'm going to raise Him up the last day. We're going to be raised in His likeness. Do you guys realize that in the book of Daniel, 12th chapter, it tells us that people who have not trusted in the Lamb of God, they're going to be raised also? Right? But they're going to have corruptible bodies. I mean, just full of, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't think even Daniel could describe it. But it's going to be a body fit for eternal ruin. A body fit for the place that Jesus said is called hell. You've got a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But we'll be raised into the likeness of the only begotten Son of God. And we will be like Him in the full
wholeness and in completeness in a sinless state, praise God. You know, God's working on our sanctification now where we'd be in His likeness. But when I tell you what, Jesus is going to complete the work in the resurrection. He's going to raise them up. Amen. I need to move on. I'll read a few more verses. I'm going to stop here in a minute. I want us to keep looking. There's a few other things in here. I want to at least get down to verse 54. Look, there's not just a believing, but there's also a eating. Okay? An eating. You've got to come and you've got to sit down at the table that's prepared for you, the table of redemption. You've got to eat of the spoils of Calvary. Right? The Jews, they begin to murmur and said, you know, because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know His mom and dad. How is it that that He saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. As it is written. Now he goes back in the prophets, okay? And he uses the 54th chapter of Isaiah. We've been studying Isaiah on Wednesday nights. And he says, and this goes back to some of the divine presence. He says, not that any man has seen the Father, save he that, verse 45. As it is written in the prophets. There are other passages. It's in Malachi. That's also in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. This is what the summary of it is this. They shall be all taught of God. The Father is going to give instruction and teach them. Deal with them. Okay? You can't just come to Jesus on your own. I should have got amen. God's got to be in the mix from the very beginning. Okay? Even Jesus was saying that. You just can't hook yourself up with Christ and it be okay. Now, I want to point something out to you. Later on in here, he gives an explanation of verse 44 about no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. He was talking about Judas Iscariot hooking himself up with the other apostles, but was not really saved. I mean, it gives a commentary on that. Verse 64 and verse 65, but I don't have time to get into that. That's for another time. But the Old Testament would teach us that the Father would work in our lives to bring us to the bread of life. It was prophesied, every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father save he which is of God. He has sent, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and what happened to them? They ate that bread that came down out of heaven in the wilderness. What happened to them? They all died. Verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Praise God. So we have this eating. I'm the bread of life, which came down out of heaven. Listen, it's not good enough to come. It's not good enough to look. It's not good enough to just have a belief that Jesus is the Son of God. You must take and eat of it. You must appropriate it unto yourself. Wow. I'm going to stop. Get a song, Dale. Cometh, looketh, believeth, eateth. He that cometh, he that looketh, he that believeth, he that eateth. Listen, folks, I don't know how to explain this to you, but spiritually I have eaten from the bread of life. He goes a little, he really gets, I mean, this really, they started murmuring and they're like, what in the world is he talking about? How are we going to eat of his flesh? And he says, In the next verse, he says, the bread that I give is my flesh. He was talking about dying on the cross. Amen. Has there ever been a moment in your life where the cross clicked in your soul? I'm talking about the appropriation of the blood of Jesus on your sins. To cover them, to wash them, to hide them from the face of the Father. Were you looking to Jesus to get it? Listen, if you're trying to get saved, go ahead and stand up. If you're trying to get saved by works, you're never going to do it. It's wholly and completely of grace. There may be somebody here this morning. You've never been saved by the grace. Okay, let's just face it. You have not eaten of the bread of life. Let's get real. Okay, you know it. Others around you know it. You have not eaten of the bread of life. Because when you eat of this bread, you have life. Eternal life. I don't know if you realize it or not, but that bread is available to you right now. Amen? The bread of life. Jesus lifted himself up on the cross for your sins, paid your sin debt, went into the grave and came out on the third day proving he's alive. He resurrected on the third day, and that sealed, that proved that his death on the cross can cover your sins. But you've got to eat.